You've got to allow yourself to go through whatever you're going through right now to reemerge on the right timetable as a stronger version of yourself.
Plant trees under whose shade you do not plan to sit. All right? Plant trees under whose shade you do not plan to sit. Selfless service. Giving without expecting. Using everything you have, doing something for nothing. Just being able to give.
A real man doesn't need another man to tell him how to be a man. That's the furthest thing from the truth. There's no other way to learn how to be a man except through other men who have gone before. Because there's a difference between masculinity and manliness. Masculinity is raw. It's just the raw, masculine testosterone and other hormones coursing through our veins that determine that level of masculinity. Manliness, however, is taking it, refining it, and producing effective outcomes.
Trying to get insight and see life as a puzzle. And your goal in life is to seek the adventures that piece the puzzle together.
When you're coming out of these down spots, these dark spots, these slumps, you've got to allow the process to happen. Watch it unfold.
You have to be prepared to take any and every opportunity that's presented to you. All right, nothing's just going to happen. You know, everybody say it's all on you. It is all on you. There's other people that can educate you and help you, but you take these different experiences that you learn that stick with you. I mean, you may not remember a whole lot when you were 4 years old, but there's certain memories, there's certain things. You can use them to either harness you to greatness or you can use them to kind of just keep you where you're at.
So the Bhagavad Gita says that attachment and aversion are two sides of the same coin. So actually the ideal is the central balance where you're able to talk to your parents, you're able to give them love, you're able to be grateful, but then again, you're still realizing that there's more impact you can have in the world than just making your parents happy.
Steve Jobs said he didn't want to be the richest man in the graveyard. You know, do you want to be the richest man in the graveyard? I want to be the happiest man on the way to the graveyard.
There's always a next level. Your definition of greatness and what you want to achieve could be totally different than somebody else's. You know, we always say, no one wants to be first, okay, because they're afraid of the consequences that come with doing something first.
Because what it means to be a man, first of all, is somebody who takes accountability and responsibility for himself and those he has an obligation for.
You don't start at a place where you have self-awareness, self-actualization, you have figured out what works for you, what your strengths are, how you want to be in an environment. When you walk out there, most of us just pretend to be someone else.
So you're not the same version of yourself. You can't expect yourself to be who you were during the last cycle. It won't happen. You have new experiences, you're older, your physiology changes, but the ego, like you referred to, wants to attach to what was. You had a great year last year, but let it go. Because it's no longer, you're not that person anymore.
So grinding and working hard and hustling is not what you optimize for. It's pain. Why would you optimize for pain?
They want to see what real people do when real crap happens, when you're threatened, when you're at risk. How good could you be? And sometimes I think people, I feel it, that they want to be touched by it. They want to be touched by it, that maybe it'll be absorbed by them. Maybe some of it'll go into their veins, that they could be better. That they could watch these noble warriors, and when they do it right, that's what they are. They could watch them and say, maybe I could be better. Maybe my choices could be better, stronger, Maybe I can make better decisions the next time instead of making a weak decision and screwing somebody.
I love to say people with excuses are afraid to work hard. I love to say that. An excuse gives you a reason to stop working hard. And what we know about anyone ever worth writing an article about is that they worked until they dropped to the point of alienating people around them. And if you are a user of excuses, you'll never work that hard.
Your habits are the way that you embody an identity, right? So like each time you make your bed, you embody the identity of someone who is clean and organized. Each time you go to the gym, you embody the identity of someone who's fit. Each time you sit down to write, you embody the identity of a writer. So you can sort of think of it as like each behavior casts a vote for the type of person that you want to become.
Your goal in business and in life on the important things is to make 3 mistakes per million transactions. And the only way you do that is by being a perfectionist in terms of double checking.
The truth is very concise. The words are very few. But people don't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts, okay? But you grow from pain. You really do. You can't know how to deal with success. You can't know how to deal with failures. You can't know how to deal with the bumps in the road that if you haven't had a taste of everything.
You know, people think, oh, you're just facing a guy with a left hand. No, you're not. You're facing yourself. That's the magic. That's what people want to say, oh, this guy's facing, can I face myself someday? You're facing your inhibition, your insecurities, all the stuff that's been laid on you through the years that you're trying to get rid of, or you hope you could get rid of.
We create barriers, and I firmly believe half or more of those constraints that stop us from taking big risks, we take on knowing there are going to be reasons later we can say, no, that would be a bad risk. I don't want to take that risk, whatever that new career twist might be, instead of embracing it and laughing and learning when you fall down occasionally. We're back to learning from failure because young people need to know that falling on your face is 100% predictable, and for the smart people, it's what they learn from that later makes them fall far less frequently than everyone else.
Someone thinks I'm confident, I feel confident. But if I think someone thinks I'm not confident, then I don't feel confident. That people were so far removed from their own understanding of themselves that they were either lost living a life they didn't want to, lost living up to someone else's expectations, or lost becoming someone to impress someone else. And so people were their real identity is almost buried under 6 feet of multiple identities they've created.
There's not other people that aren't holding you back. Your boss isn't holding you back. Your parents aren't holding you back. Those are excuses. To me, there's no such thing as luck, okay? All luck is preparation meeting opportunity, plain and simple.
Gandhi said that you find yourself when you lose yourself in the service of others.
So if you're watching this and you feel lost, it's better to just sit down and be like, I'm lost. Because the day you admit you're lost is the day you allow yourself to be found by people who can give you a tip.
The wisdom, and right now, man, the wisdom of your body says, allow the process to happen and get familiar and disciplined and committed with your rituals. My question to you today, my friends, are, and really, I want you to think about this one a little bit. I want you to take your time, really meditate on this. Why are you doing the thing that you're doing?
All of us want to feel inspired. We all want to feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. We all want to have some sort of physical and psychological safety, whether it's at home or work. And at the end of the day, every human being on the planet wants the feeling that I can provide for myself and my family. There's nobility in work.
I think dreams are fine. Like, it's fun to fantasize, but I think it's also important to just be honest about what dreams are, is that they're fantasies, they're fun. And so I prefer to kind of take more of a present approach of like, okay, let's pay attention to like, how does this feel right now? How does the work make you feel now? Because I think if you pay attention to that, that's actually what makes great things happen in your life.
And I realize frustration is suffering. I get frustrated, you know? I get concerned, you know, worried sometimes. I go, okay, that's suffering. Where's it coming from? What am I stressed about? What am I concerned about? And what I immediately do is I realize the stressful thought. Since I've seen Christian G, I kind of traded one thing. What I really do now is I dig in and I notice that the only time you have stress or suffer is when you believe a stressful thought.
My thing is like, as long as I try my best, as long as I attempt it, then, you know, that's not failing. Because there's a lot of people in life, whether it's in their personal life or in their business life, and they sit on the sideline and they're like, man, I don't have the resources, I can't build a business. Or I'm not old enough, I don't have the knowledge. Or I'm too old that I can't build a business. And I always tell people, I'd much rather be in the trenches. I'd much rather be on the field than sitting on the sideline wasting time and thinking, man, I can't do that.
What are you really seeking after? Right? What do you really want? What hole in you? What missing part of you? Or what sore spot in you is healed by the pursuit of your goals?
You need the problems because that's what generates the meaning. And if you don't have the meaning, then, you know, everything just feels pointless. And you're like, well, why do anything? So you need that meaning. You know, it comes back to that, what I was saying about the stories that we wrap around our positive and negative experiences. You know, like that meaning is what creates those powerful stories that pushes us forward and, you know, makes us feel like our life is well lived.
I realized all I had to do was have my phone to be stressed. If that's true, my happiness is so cheap. Because what are the chances of everybody doing exactly what you think they should do the right way every day? So the antidote to suffering, the antidote to lost less never, is appreciation. I always tell people, trade your expectation for appreciation, your whole life changes.
The best leaders are actually the best followers. The best leaders never think that they're the final, that the buck stops with them. They always believe that they're in service to something bigger than themselves.
The majority of not only entrepreneurs, but human beings, like, we start off with can't. Like, the majority of people are like, oh, you can't do this because this, 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 and this. And it's like, humans are very disempowering creatures. Like, if we don't catch our thoughts, if we don't catch our patterns, if we don't catch the things that come out of our mouth, if they're negative, like, we need to switch that.
What really matters is the relationships with the people in your life. If you don't have people close to you to share them with or to support or help support you, pretty much anything will eventually feel empty.
Don't confuse humility with meekness. Humility is being open to the ideas of others.
Your happiness will never last as long as it's got expectation on you. What I did was I began to realize I made the decision, the most important decision I believe of your life, that I'm not going to suffer anymore. Life's too short to suffer, and I'm going to live in a beautiful state every day. And the way I do it is I catch myself when I start to get that sense of stress. I let it go. I see the idea of
mine. Me, self-confidence is measured, and there should be a degree of doubt. When we talk about building one's self-confidence, I think the mistake that we make is that we look inside. I think the reality is when we try to build our self-confidence, we should be looking to our friends, we should be nursing our relationships. Mm. When I'm looking to build my self-confidence, the question is, who around me do I need to take care of?
Success is not you saying how much money you have in the bank account. It's about who you are and how you show up in the world and how you show up for yourself. Forget about everybody else. How do you show up for yourself? I honor your opinion. I will listen to good feedback, but I don't care if you think I'm a good person, I'm a bad person, I'm successful, I'm failure. It's not for you to decide, it's for me to decide.
They'll complain about being burnt out or they'll complain about being tired. And I don't think necessarily in every case that we're burnt out or tired because we're doing too much, but maybe we're doing too little of the things that really matter, that make us feel alive.
The only way that change is going to take place is if you see the evidence of the collapse right in front of you. I think the challenge is that people have to wake up. And the question is, how uncomfortable do you have to become before you make up your mind to change something?
In life, I don't lose, I only win or learn. Like, if people can realize, like, so many people think like they've lost, but like, if you just pull one piece of information that's good, whether it's a different perspective, extracting knowledge, a different way to go about life, a different way to not fall on your face, like, that's winning.
Appreciation, love, and joy destroy suffering. You can't be grateful and angry simultaneously. It's possible. You can't be worried and fearful and grateful simultaneously. So I tell people gratitude is one of the emotions to cultivate that'll destroy the suffering.
Things are going well, you're happy. When things aren't going well, you're sad. But when you learn how to self-regulate and create more coherence in your brain and heart, then you're no longer dependent on your outer world controlling your mood.
The biggest and baddest people are handicapped and crippled by the limiting beliefs, the things that they tell themselves, and that's why I say the biggest disability is a bad mindset. It's not this body.
Here's how I deal with fear. Fear is a figment of our imagination, right? Fear is created because of expectations. Firstly, once you have an expectation of yourself and you say, hey, I don't need to have this expectation, I'm just living life as a play. It's a game, it's music, it's fun, it's joy. So I'm doing it for the fun and the joy, so I am enjoying along the ride. Like, I'm not gonna kill myself if I don't get there one day. Like, it doesn't define me. It's there only so I have something to chase.
My goal is not to make everything absolutely equal, the amount of time in my relationship, to the amount of time I spend in the gym, to the amount of time that I'm working on my career. But maybe the goal is like an orchestra. You know, each instrument, they don't necessarily have equal time, but they come together in a way that creates art, you know, a symphony.
Choice is a gift. It's always there. You can choose what you focus on, and what you focus on is what you're going to experience. You can focus on things that make you suffer, or you can focus on things that make you grateful. And of the two, gratitude is the better approach. It's not some namby-pamby positive thinking approach. It's intelligent, because when you're in a good state, you can solve the problem.
And like, so many people are trying to seek validation from other people. They're trying to be working on relationships with girls, or trying to, you know, seek validation from other things and Instagram and materialistic things. And when the biggest relationship that they should be working on is the one within themselves.
In fact, you begin to realize how you think and feel begins to produce effects in your outer life. Now you start believing more you're the creator of your life and less of the victim of your life. Now, that isn't something that you take one bite of and swallow and it's all over. It's a process of repatterning. It's a process of rewiring. It's a process of reconditioning. It's a process of self-reflection and awareness and changing those beliefs.
All that matters in the world we live in today, outside your belief systems, is your ability to add value.
Fast forward all the way to when we're taking our last breaths. And at that time, nobody's opinions or our fears, none of that's gonna matter. What's gonna matter is how we lived, how we loved, how we laughed, how we learned.
And so there are so many people in the world, and you know, you may be watching this right now, and you have these incredible ideas, and what you think is missing is motivation. And that's not true.
In my language, you all have the same purpose. And that purpose is to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that has never happened before. You can say the divine presence, you can say great God of the universe, you can say divine life. Whatever it is, we have the purpose to reveal this presence, this cosmic happening, to localize the cosmic happening in a way that has never, ever happened before. We all have different missions of how we do that, but our purpose is to reveal that, and that is how you break free from the status quo.
People always say, oh, haters motivate me. That line right there drives me insane. If negativity is your motivation, it's impossible to turn your ears off to the good and the bad, or to pick one or the other. You know, if you're listening to their negativity, you're also gonna have big ears, we call it, to the compliments and the yes men. And the minute you're allowing someone else to control your day, or control your motivation, or control your wavelength of life, you set yourself up for failure.
These are amazing times, and in order for us to wake up, we need a wake-up call.
And if you can frame the circumstances to see that it's an opportunity for everybody to pause and retreat from their lives, and by removing the constant stimulation in their external environment that reminds them of who they think they are as a personality, they're not going to the same places, they're not seeing the same people, they're not doing the same things, and they're actually confined to kind of a personalized retreat in the comfort of their own home.
The death of emotions is primary, because when your emotions always skew the way you see reality. And Socrates, he was very different than what you hear today. You know, everybody today is like, oh, reality is what you make of it, what you want it to be. Socrates is the polar opposite. He says, look, your emotions are getting in the way of what's really out there. You need to start checking your emotions at the door and just see what the world actually is in itself.
I have this misguided notion that everybody in life should just be honest, just be themselves. Whereas the truth is, we're never really ourselves. As a social animal, we're always wearing masks, we're continually acting. But if you looked at yourself in the course of a day, you would realize, anybody would realize, how many different masks you wear.
Now, the beauty behind this is who you're going to emerge as. And sure, the conditions in our environment are causing us to be uncertain. And in uncertainty, when things, we can't predict certain things, we move from everything that's predictable and known to this realm called the unknown.
Mindset I'm defining as what's possible in your life, right? Think about the area that you're not making progress in, and mindset is the set of assumptions and attitudes we have around something, around how the world works, especially what we believe is possible, what we believe we're capable of, what we believe we deserve.
And the fact about human beings is that we are not designed to do things that are uncomfortable or scary or difficult. Our brains are designed to protect us from those things because our brains are trying to keep us alive. And in order to change, in order to build a business, in order to be the best parent, the best spouse, to do all those things that you know you want to do with your life, with your work, with your dreams, you're going to have to do things that are difficult, uncertain, or scary.
You have to ignore the externalities, the third parties and their subjective views of you. Otherwise, you are setting yourself up for failure. And it breeds a false sense of ego. We have such a small window of opportunity in this life to self-generate success. And every day we wake up, that window's closing at an alarming rate. And every minute you waste worrying about somebody that has zero real effect on your life, that window comes closer. And one day you're going to wake up and look back, and that window is going to have slammed shut on your ass. And you're going to look back and regret all those minutes wasted worrying about somebody that didn't even know you.
Limitless is not about being perfect. It's about progressing and advancing beyond what you believe is possible.
Everything begins with a thought. Wherever you don't have love, if you don't have enough money, if you don't have enough health, somewhere, somehow, you've had a thought that's blocked you. And all our beliefs about money, everything really starts so early. But the great news is you can change your thought.
When you live it, you leave it. When you live it, you leave it. What you're saying is wonderful, but what you're doing is penetrating. It's shaping the lives of those who are watching. And I realized that the bigger I dream, the more contagious I became.
A person who's living a lie, they cannot be well-balanced. They cannot be well-adjusted in themselves. Because you can lose it all, but you can't lose your principles. If you live a principle-centered life, your foundation is solid. Whereas if you, let's say for instance, you have a great company, you have a lot of money, and you base your life on having this. Well, you're going to be an insecure person because money and fame and fortune is frail. You can lose it in an instant. You can wake up tomorrow and for whatever reason, things fall apart. Now, if you based your life on this, your base of your life will crumble. You can't base your life on something that's frail, that can be taken from you. So according to Stephen R. Covey, the human psyche will always be healthy if it bases its life on principle.
There's effluence, affluence, and influence. Effluence is generosity. It's giving. There can be no permanent affluence unless there's effluence in your consciousness. So first, you're in service to something higher. And you begin to ask yourself, because you've been given everything, you're a composite spiritual idea that carries the infinite and ways beyond your wildest imagining, you have to live in the inquiry of what can I give? What can I share? How can I shine? How can I radiate? You have to give up the thought of what can I get from the world.
Don't sign up for the goal. Sign up for the inconvenience it's going to cost you. Sign up for that. Sign up. I sign up every day to the inconvenience. The goal looks sexy. The inconvenience looks costly. But if you sign up for the inconvenience, then the goal will take care of itself.
There's no more freeing moment in your life when you can hear something said about you and completely dismiss it. And your day, the wavelength of your day has not altered completely. It is truly being free from within yourself and living a life in your own mind, unjudged by others. Because life is hard enough, and it's going to beat you down at every opportunity. Why add one more thing?
Take their attention off of everything that's known. And if you do that properly and you're not aware of your body, if you're not aware of the people in your life that you identify with, you're not thinking about your cell phone or any object, you're not thinking about where you're sitting, where you work, where you need to go, you're not thinking about the future or the past or in the present moment, then what are you? Your consciousness. And now that is the eye of the needle that passes you through to the quantum field. You can't enter that place as a somebody. You've got to enter as a nobody.
The planet is Mother Earth, Gaia, rainforest, rivers, three-fourths water, trees. It's a magnificent, luminous being that's becoming more and more conscious of itself. And then there is the world. The world is held together by opinions, points of view, positionalities, beliefs, which is why individuals can be on the same spot on the planet, but be in different worlds.
Are you willing to not quite know what's there, but that something is there is greater than you? Are you willing to say, my life has to make a huge difference?
A life well lived is what makes you enthusiastic. Find enthusiasm and you're at the highest level of the human experience. Enthusiasm. It's actually the path to happiness is enthusiasm.
Your life comes down to your decisions, and if you change your decisions, you will change everything.
A big part of finding out what's right for you is stop confining yourself to a path that you've been convinced is the path.
You are purpose as a person. That's what I've been saying. When I said that, it kind of changed my life. So I say, I am purpose. If you're looking for a miracle, you're that miracle.
There are invisible forces that shape our life, shape our destiny. We believe hallucination, that the physical reality is all there is. Every time something's extraordinary, every time is extraordinary. We don't know where we are. We know when we are. But we know why we are.
You know, we always learn about the blocks of success, the steps of success, the principles of success, you know, the actions of success, the words of success. I know more about failure than anyone. And there's as much to learn from failure as there is from success.
All the things you can control and then the things you can't control. If you try to start controlling things that you can't, you're just gonna get frustrated and angry and anxious, right? Mm-hmm. But the only things you can control are your thoughts and your actions, and that is it. That is it. So you have this choice. You try and control all this other stuff, or you could just decide that it's fine, that everything else is fine.
And our feelings are the most real thing we have.
and we push them down. We find all this stuff to buy or eat or drink or take to keep us, like John Lennon said, comfortably numb. Mm. But then the feelings regroup and come back because they've always got a job to do. Look, you've got to feel the feeling until it no longer requires to be felt.
Very much so, go to school and get married and have kids, and that's a success. Really stepping outside of that and exploring, whether that's in school and taking classes that you might not take at first glance, whether it's going and experiencing different types of arts, meeting different types of people, making new friends. I think there's so much out there that you don't even know exists.
You know, if I ever feel like in any moment life is not going the way that I think it should be going, it's because I'm resisting what is.
I always say, like, if fear was a door, and behind this door was all this negativity, things that I'm saying, like, I'm gonna lose, I'm gonna suck, I'm never gonna walk through that door. So in order for me to walk through the door, even though the door is super scary, I have to make empowering things on this side of the door, right? I'm gonna learn, I'm gonna grow. Even if I don't win, it's gonna be something valuable in it. So let me walk through this door, right? Even though it might not be perfect, I'm still gonna find growth inside of it.
Unless you claim extraordinary, ordinary claims you.
If you wake up tomorrow morning and blame the government, the environment, the weather, you know, Joe Blow, if you blame anything or anyone else, you have no reason to change. But if you blame yourself, you're not gonna like it.
Right.
So what happens that morning in the mirror? Do you look at the mirror and do you blame something else or do you blame yourself?
Every single moment is an opportunity for us to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. And so I just try and play the game. If I'm miserable, if I'm upset, if I'm angry, if I'm cranky, it is my responsibility because it's based on what I'm thinking or believing in that moment.
People out there that are going through fearful moments, it's kind of like this. You will never step into the ring if you're already telling yourself that you're going to lose before the fight. You'll never do that. Like, why would you? Right? So tell yourself you're going to win. Even if you get knocked down, guess what? You're never knocked out in life until you actually tap out to your last day.
Got to convince them that their fears shouldn't hold them back. That, you know, using the excuse of scarcity or consequence or ego or any of these things holds us back from our future.
So for me, the first step is just opening yourself up to new experiences and new role models. Because most of us can't see ourselves in people, so then we try and fit ourselves into the boxes that we do see.
Fear is creating a known result from a situation you haven't experienced yet.
We are wired to like what is familiar and to resist what's unfamiliar. So we have this wiring that says, run towards what's familiar and run away from what's unfamiliar. And the most important thing to make familiar is praising yourself. That's, if you could just do that, that in itself would change your entire life.
So we live in this perception of ourselves. Hence, my identity is made by what my parents think I should be. My identity is made up by what my college or university thinks I should achieve. While you're living in that bubble and that echo chamber, getting to what you really want to do is impossible.
150,000 people die every day. Tomorrow is not promised. So if I'm not going after it, then I'm going to die incomplete. I'm going to die being a person that I wasn't created to be. Like, I want to meet the greatest me. I want to meet my full potential.
The relationship between my essential nature, the nature of who I am, and my authentic nature and the energy and the environment. The environment is always trying to break you down. And if you're comfortable and you become an agent of what your parents told you, the culture told you, and everything else, and your stories are protected, and even if you get successful, you're going to drop it out and you're going to lose it out because you want to make sure nothing really changes.
One idea of that there is a version of you that's out there somewhere that you want to clear everyone out of the way so you can just, you know, focus on that. And then there's the other completely conflicting impulse, which is, well, maybe the best version of myself, rather than being out there somewhere which I'm never going to reach, is actually here. Maybe the self is something that extends and is sort of active and fluid and extends out into the relationship.
I'm scared of failure, or I'm scared to do it in the first place, or I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm fearful. But if we stop and think about it, somebody else has been in the same position as you, if not thousands of people, and they got past the fear.
Every word you say is a blueprint that your mind, body, and psyche are working to make your reality. So we make our thoughts, and our thoughts make us. Then we go out into the world, and we justify our thoughts every day.
Greatest power is to be self-controlled, to be able to train the mind and energy to focus it exactly where you want it and when you want it to be. You are completely detached and undeterred from external ups and downs. You're able to navigate anything that seems tough, challenging, fun, excitement, without being too excited in pleasure or being too depressed in pain.
Gain leverage, right, in your life. Like, what's something that's gonna make you move? That's all you have to do is move. Take that first step. That's the most important step in the journey. And listen, you're gonna fall on your face, you're gonna be embarrassed, but everybody who's experienced greatness has been through that.
I define pain as any uncomfortable experience or circumstance that interrupts your ability to be present in the magic of the moment.
When it comes to gifts, think about it like this. Like, when someone gives you a physical gift, like Christmas and your birthday, what do? You unwrap it, you show it to the world, you put it on Instagram. You got that same gift inside you that the world needs. And you're doing the world a disservice by leaving your gift wrapped up.
Fear. But I understand what the emotion of fear is. It's a subconscious trigger that causes this feeling that I don't like. And it's a go signal for me, not a stop signal for me.
But when you say I'm enough, it's strength, is its simplicity, and it's honesty. Because you are enough. You're not your weight, your shape, your size, your bank account, your childhood. And the thing is, when you say it, and really say it, speak it, and let it in, people pick up you're enough.
Today, I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am.
Everyone is going to build their self-esteem around something. And being able to identify what you build your self-esteem around is critical. Once you identify what it is that you're proud of that makes you feel good about who you are, you need to ask yourself one very simple question. Does that move me towards my goals or not?
When I run after what I think I want, my days are a furnace of distress and anxiety. If I sit in my own place of patience, what I need flows to me, and without any pain.
In a way, we're still all looking for our identity. You know, you might know that you're British, you might know that you're Haitian, but who am I, though, you know, amongst that? Who am I beyond my social class?
Fundamental illusion is because we have been told that we need to become someone in order to feel worthy. We have to discover who it is we are, that this journey is to do more, become more, achieve more, perfect more. All of it is a lie. It's part of the capitalism. When you realize that we have been living in this bubble, it's a bubble. When you realize that this dimension is predicated on fear.
People who want their idea to be the right idea without regard for whether or not it moves everybody towards the stated goal, those are people who have built their self-esteem around the fragile desire to be right, to be smart, to be better, right? And it is super fragile, because as soon as you encounter somebody better, smarter, faster, stronger, instead of learning from them, being inspired by them, they're diminishing you, because you're comparing yourself to them in a really ignorant way that doesn't move you towards your goal.
And a lot of times what you're really good at is right in front of you. What you're really great at is right in front of you. And to recognize that your calling and your purpose can change, that it can change. You have a long lifetime. It's not going to be the same calling the whole time. And so allow yourself to evolve. Allow your purpose to evolve. What's that thing you do effortlessly that you give no credit to?
The driving force behind that type of attitude, at least it was for me, was fear and anger. Anger that I want to prove myself. We're there, or anger, we have something to prove. There's fear that you're not going to make it, that you're not going to be somebody, that you're not going to be able to take care of the people you love. And with that comes the arrogance, at least for me, came the arrogance of, nothing's going to stop me, I can do anything.
Could it be as that the suffering that we go through, someone who cheats on us, or someone who steals from us, or a business failure, or a broken heart, or someone who is unkind to us, is, in fact, an element that our soul wanted us to experience, so we discover our gift that we are meant to bring to the world.
What would you be reading about, even in neutral? What would you be doing if you didn't need to do it? What's that thing you turn to for pleasure when you've got free time? That's the thing that you should be doing.
A lot of times, your gift and your purpose, you've discounted it, either because someone else discounted it, or what's more common is you don't know how to monetize it. And sometimes the greatest gift you have to give is not for fee, it's for free.
Because we are living under a cloud of the same delusion. Now, there's no harm in living under the cloud. The harm comes in thinking that that's the right way to be, and that's where the toxicity starts. When we give to our next generation our way to be, we can see how we've been set up to be anxious, to be a generation of great anxiety, because we have been set up on categorical duality. All of our life is predicated on labels, judgments, a way to be, good and bad.
People are truly passionate about what they do. You just get a chemical rush. You get the energy. You become more resourceful. When someone who doesn't have passion, they don't really want to be there anyway, they will give up way easier because they're not having a good time. It's not in them. Don't try to change the world unless you seek change the way a man whose head is on fire seeks a pond.
When meaning is given to suffering, it ceases to become suffering. So I want you to pay attention to this idea. Very often when we find our values, the fascinating thing that happens is the pain that we once were attached to in the past disappears.
I say most people can see, but not everyone has vision. What that means to me is if you have a desire to be successful, you better be just as in love with failure. Like, I love failing. I just wake up every day to see how many times I can fail. Yeah, I have no problem with it because failure will introduce you to success. You got a lot of people who are afraid to fail. You know, some days we have to wake up and put out fires before we can even get to the brick.
Once you have perception about something, something happened, it definitely informs your view of the world. And now you are the director, not only of that story, but you are the director. You are the only one in control of how you want to maneuver that story. Your story sometimes has a lot of layers and depths to it. For some of you, some of those layers and emotions and emotional baggage is still there to process. That's yours to process.
And it's my job to give the world the best example of how I like to be treated. Celebrate yourself, forgive yourself, cut the shackles, and then commit to yourself before you commit to anyone else.
Money is less and less motivating the more and more you get of it. Missions, on the other hand, the closer and closer you get to making it real, the more momentum you have behind accomplishing your mission, the more energy you have, the more people you can attract to your mission. And it just keeps going, and it's a virtuous cycle.
Because life as we know it is life as we know it. So if life becomes life as we don't know it, there's great fear. So as long as we never pull, question, look under the rug, look behind the corners, look beneath the shadows, we will not awaken. To awaken means to look and see things as they really are. To see the source of where, how you believe has come to be. Dare to go behind and beyond the matrix.
I honestly believe that if people are not calling you crazy, your dream isn't big enough.
I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to protect. I have nothing to hide. And I have nothing to defend. That your perception of me, after I tell my truth, is actually none of my business. My perception of me, that I go to bed as whole and complete as I woke up. Before I check how many likes I have on Facebook, that I like me first, and every other like is bonus.
If you've got the guts to be you, somewhere deep inside that person, even if they show you nothing but hate, they respect you so much because they're afraid to be themselves. But they want to be so desperately. So if you ever wonder why, the people who attack you most aggressively are the people who see in you something that they can't have.
So your pain is often the breadcrumbs to your values, and those values become the guiding light for your purpose on the planet. Because what often happens is that the pain gives us a glimpse of what we want to heal and fix in the world so that other generations and other people we love do not have to experience that pain.
What does it take to do the impossible? What does it take to achieve paradigm-shifting, never-seen-before breakthroughs?
Again, I've worked with thousands and thousands of addicts. I've never met one in my entire life who said, I feel enough. But many who said, I don't feel enough. You know, I'm trying to fill this emptiness inside. You can't fix an emotional pain with stuff. I mean, obviously we think we can. We shop and buy stuff to fill up this pain, but it doesn't work. You have to recognize that what lies beneath self-hatred, self-sabotage, procrastination, and so many more things is this inner feeling, I'm not enough.
Because if you got $1 billion and every day you live pissed off and frustrated, the quality of your life is called pissed off and frustrated. But if you have nothing, but you're euphorically grateful for whatever you have, you're the richest person that you're going to know.
It is a state of consciousness known to researchers as flow. Now, you may know flow by other names, right? You may call it runner's high or being in the zone. If you happen to play basketball, you might call it being unconscious. If you're a beatnik jazz musician, you're being in the pocket. If you do stand-up comedy, you're in the forever box. Flow is a technical term. As I mentioned earlier, it is technically defined as an optimal state of consciousness, one where we feel our best and we perform our best. Who's counting on you to be at your best today? Like, who's watching you all the time that you need to be able to be a good role model for? So you could go there and introduce a little bit of pain if that pain serves you to be able to level up your life, right? And you use it intelligently.
The repetition of thinking and feeling and thinking, caused me to feel guilt, and I don't even know it's guilt, it just feels like me. It's just, I'm used to the same chemical continuity. Now, the moment they decided to change, anytime you decide to change and change anything about yourself, get ready, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to leave the known, you're going to leave the familiar, and you're going to step into the unknown.
So here's my advice to you, expect amazing things then. If what is expected tends to be realized, expect the best. Expect love and success and an amazing life, because you know what? It will probably be realized really fast if you expect it.
When you start seeing that somebody else can do it, and you see they really did, you start to believe, you start to get certainty. And then the fourth thing I tell people is it's massive action, and constantly change your approach, and then it's find somebody worse off than you are and help them. Because when you do that, it gets you out of yourself.
When I'm at my best, I'm in this state, and every idea, every action, every decision flows seamlessly, perfectly, effortlessly from the last. So flow is actually a phenomenological description. It's how the state makes us feel.
Some people are super happy being unhappy. So then they would rather cling to their suffering than take a chance in possibility. So these people said, I really have nothing to lose, right? So then they said, I'm willing to be uncomfortable and be in the unknown. And it turns out that's the perfect place to create from. Mm. So when the body is conditioned to become the mind, then to change is to be greater than the body.
You know, Shakespeare said, from pain comes art. And it is true that people who've had a blissful life can't write about pain.
It's not your connections and network. It's not your education levels. Everybody has different, right, external. But the one thing that is constant is we all have what? 24 hours in a day. And so if you had, imagine every single morning your bank account, you all automatically, every morning when you wake up, there's extra $86,400 in there. And here's the thing, at midnight, whatever you didn't invest and use is gone. And that's how I look at time.
We all have four aspirations our whole life. Our being goals, like who we want to be as a person and our desire to be congruent with that. Our relating goals, how we want to treat other people and show up with other people. Our creation goals, the things that we want to create, the things that we want to contribute, like I want to do something. And then our growth goals, how we want to grow along the way.
We all have degrees of pain. We get rejected, we get dumped, we get hurt, but you're supposed to get over the pain. Human beings are incredibly resilient and we are wired to recover from pain.
Right, we have 86,400 seconds in a day, and whatever you're not investing in it, into something for your happiness, for your health, for something that's going to outlast you, then we lose it every single day.
Nobody changes until they change their energy. And when you change your energy, you change your life.
I'm useless, I'm spectacular, I'm terrified, I'm delighted. And by the way, fear and excitement are exactly the same. You can be on a fun fair screaming your head off and going, oh, look at that wheel. Are they scared or excited? I don't know. Do you? Because it's the same. When you're excited, you scream. And when you're scared, you scream.
You think about most of your fears, most of your anxieties. Very few of them are in the right here, right now. They're usually horrible things that happened in the past that we'd like to avoid happening again in the present. Or there's scary things that might, maybe, could happen in the future, right? And we'd like to steer around it. When we end up in the deep now, when time gets shut down in a flow state, anxiety disappears. Your stress hormones flood out of your system.
I want to be a good person who's congruent and proud of myself. I want to relate with other people so there's deep, real, meaningful connections, love, and care. I want to create things that I feel like draw out my passions and make a difference. I want to grow into the best person I can. If we all have that same thing, what's the difference makers? Usually two things. Number one, did you take command? Then the other thing is community, the people that you're around.
The inner event is an experience. An experience enriches the brain. We don't see things how they are. We see things how we are. So as you begin to change your circuitry, you're going to perceive more of reality. And why? Because we probably perceive 1% of reality. So how do we begin to fully engage, right? What matters is the essence. What matters is, am I making a difference in the world? How can I begin to affect change and help people to heal or create a better life for themselves?
The most important thing is to keep the most important thing the most important thing. We all need people in our life that encourage us. We all need people in life that challenge us. We all need people in life that cheerlead for us, that help encourage us, that give us courage, right? And if you haven't found that person, be that person. Be that person for somebody else. Especially be that person for yourself.
It's when you say, I could never do that again, it would kill me to do that again. I'd rather die than do that again. Now our mind is very certain we must not go through that again. And it allows us to hold back and live a very limiting life because we told it something utterly untrue. You can go through anything, but it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger.
The internal mayhem of the self-doubt, the fear, the frustration, the lack of motivation and discipline that just upsets us that we all have. But the real mayhem that really messes up people in the influencer space is the relationship mayhem.
Right? You have to believe you are capable of achieving the impossible before you can actually achieve the impossible. There's just no other way around it. Ask yourself, what kinds of impossible grand challenges would you guys go after? Would you solve in your own life? Would you try to solve in the world? If you could be 500% more productive, if you could be 600% more creative, if you could cut learning times in half, this is exactly what is available to each and every one of you today.
You take your attention off your body and you go from somebody to nobody. You take your attention off the people in your life and go from who you identify with, from someone to no one. And so many people spend their whole life building an identity of being someone. And take your attention off time, linear, thinking about the predictable future, the familiar past, and fall into the generous present moment and go from some time to no time. Then all you're left with is consciousness.
You know, like living your dreams, let's be really frank, can be scary. But you know what's scarier? Not living.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.